name we pray.
Blog
Amen.
Talk Radio.
Give him all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. Welcome to Gatekeepers Global Broadcast. I'm just honored to greet you tonight and to have this author on, my friend Jake McCandless, father, husband, pastor, preacher, talk show host, author. Author of this powerful book, Jesus and His White Horse. I can't wait, oh, Lord, till this is a total reality. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm seer evangelist Linda Cazares, and I'm privileged and honored to greet you tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for joining us. However you choose to join us, streaming or dialing in, we greet you in the name of Jesus. I just had to have Minister Jake on this podcast about Jesus and His White Horse because I'm just thrilled about being in that number. After He calls us up in the rapture, and then whatever designated time He has to come back through the clouds on the white horse, we as His remnant, His church, His body of Christ, will be with Him. And it's an exciting book to read to children to let them know that Jesus really has a horse in heaven, that Jesus really loves to even ride a horse, and that we're going to be riding horses. So I'm just blessed tonight. I just praise God. This has been a happy year for me and a happy time for me, even though there's been some challenges. It's been just a blessing. God has been blessing me beyond measure, and I decree the blessings of the Lord upon you, the listeners, that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. So I bless God tonight, and I just welcome you. I'm grateful that you would tune in. Whatever time zone you're in, you're welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. So I am going to turn the broadcast over to Jake, and so that we can experience this book that God gave him to write to the children. My goodness, you know, we often want the children to read the Bible, and we need to read to them sometimes and read them a book like this. I got to get a few books because I have a few children that are friends and my spiritual son, and that would love for their daddy to sit down with them and read a book like this to them. So, Jake, your mic is open. How you doing there, sir?
Hey, Linda. It's great to be on here. I thank you for this opportunity and just appreciate your support. It's just awesome how God brings people together. Of course, I met you through our mutual friend, Chad Harvey, and just a total God thing how I met him. And I appreciate you supporting us and helping us get what the Lord's put on our heart out there for others to hear.
Oh, yeah. I'm honored to do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. I know that you're good ground. I know that you're good ground. So I'm going to just be sowing on good ground some more through your life and through your ministry and as an author. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. And this opportunity is incredible. I just hate that we're just getting to hear the story because the illustrations are so beautiful. But that's good. Well, you can hear the story, and then you can go get a copy and see the pictures as well. So,
Cool.
Awesome opportunity to share.
Well, however you're going to introduce the book to us, you've got a wide open space right here, so just bring it.
Okay. Well, Linda, greatly appreciate it, and you out there listening, greatly appreciate you for tuning in, and so excited to share this with you. So I'm going to be reading to you directly from this new children's picture book. It's really for ages 4 to 7, I think, is what it's listed for. But we've really upped my daughter's age 10, and of course my daughters are real reason why I wrote this, and as they're 8 and 10 now, and because we would go, we wanted to tell them the whole story of the Bible, the whole story of Jesus, and there was, we could not find any book, any curriculum that talked about in details about Jesus's return. Now, you might find a children's picture Bible that might have a story of heaven at the end, but not about Jesus coming back. And just became very convicted that's missing from the story. And so I'd been on a journey already to through a ministry at that time called Prophecy Simplified, which has later become what is Stand Firm today. But we began just trying to encourage people to remain faithful by trying to take prophecy from the Bible and simplify it as much as we can and communicate what we felt like this is, if we knew this, we would be good. And so that really the Lord used that to prepare me to really boil down the story to what mattered most. And so was challenged to write this, and it was just a God thing. Feel like the Lord just had never written a children's book before, had not even worked in that area. God gave this whole book, the whole story, in just a moment. And then I did work with a children's author and to walk through it and critique it and to guide the words there. And so we had a book, and my agent, who represents me as an author, shopped it around to all the leading children's publishers. They all said this book it's written great. We like it. But we are not going to publish something about Jesus returning or the end times. Listen to that. All of the major public Christian children's publishers refused to publish it because of the subject matter of the return. And so we were stuck. And how children's books work is typically if you're going to go through a publisher, which we wanted to do because we feel like that gives, put something behind it. And so typically you write the children's book and then they will hire the illustrator. Well, if they're not going to publish it, they're not going to hire the illustrator. So we had to do the illustration. And we were just really particular because we didn't want a Precious Moments Jesus and we didn't want a Superman comic book Jesus. We wanted to try to hit more accurate. And one of the convictions I have in writing children's curriculum is to let the story of Scripture speak for itself, to just tell the Bible story, not try to find another way to tell it and then just encircle back to it, that the story can stand alone. And so that's been the conviction that we've had. And even before writing this, I had the opportunity to write for children's, or asked about sharing this story in a children's magazine. And they wrote me back and said, well, we don't need just the Bible story, Jake. We need you to, like, have a rabbit or something tell us about the end or some kind of animal story that's in the mix. And we just wanted to tell the Bible story. And but God provided this total God thing, met Tyson Raines, who had been in art but hadn't illustrated a children's book, wanted to do that, and he did the book and just did an incredible job. I encourage people, if you've seen the cover from the advertisements, from the promotions, from his, just an incredible job. He would call and talk to me over the expression of Jesus, the expression of the horse, the angle in which a sword would be held, and all these things. So he put so much detail in there to convey theologically what was going on. But just total God thing. Finally, Crosslink Publishers came on board and published it. And from what we know, it's the first traditionally published children's book on Jesus returning. And all along we've been saying, you know, kids know Jesus in the manger. They know him, you know, walking on water, riding on the donkey. They know him on the cross, and they know the empty tomb, but they don't know he's coming back. And you don't have to go to the book of Revelation to find that out. He said in the book of John that he was coming back. He'd go prepare a place, and he'd come back for us. And we'd leave that story out. And so along the way, with this book coming out, we've also launched Stand Firm Kids, which is an initiative to help kids build a faith that lasts. And one of the convictions we have is reason children aren't holding on to their faith into adulthood is because we're not given a big enough story. And it has been incredible to see how kids have responded to this story. I just got a message today that someone was reading it, and the kid went and told someone else that about this new Jesus. And they had to work to say it's not a new Jesus, it's the same Jesus, but Jesus is returning. But in the process, one of the things that the Lord did that was really cool that we didn't understand, we didn't expect, is we were able to convey this in a positive way. And I think probably for all of us, when we think about Jesus' return, we get hung up in the, he's coming to defeat his enemy. He's coming to bring wrath, the sword out of his mouth. He's coming as the warrior. And so all of that is true. But for the believer, this is the blessed hope. It's his return and establishment of his kingdom. We read it in Revelation 19, him coming on the white horse with the army of heaven behind him. Then he defeats the Antichrist and the false prophet, bound Satan up for 1,000 years, and he becomes king on earth and establishes his kingdom. That's the hope we have to look forward to. And it has left not just children, but adults who hear it and read it as well with a positive impact. And so really the hope behind that is the early church, it said that they would use the phrase Maranatha, which means Lord come. And that was the hope. That was the hope that they had. And we've gotten away from that. And we need to realize that we've got hope in him coming. So I wanted to set up, just tell the story a bit about the book, because it is a complete God thing that took multiple years to come about. And it's tough. It's like everything in the world has been against getting this out there. But when we hear stories of children reading it, the impact it's made, it's just incredible. So it's Jesus on the White Horse from Crosslink Publishers, written by me, Jake McCandless, illustrated by Tyson Raines. Just absolutely incredible. And I want to give a shout-out to our editor, Rita Halter-Thomas. And also want to thank Wine Press Media, from the publishing company by Joel Richardson, who put support in for the book. So here it is, Jesus and his White Horse. Are we ready? So again, unfortunately, I hate you can't see the pictures, but try to picture in your head as I read through it. Jesus and his White Horse. I imagine you know about Jesus. Jesus is the one who loves you, the one who came to take away our sins, and he is the one who did cool things, like walk on water. You probably know he was the baby in the manger. He was born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling cloth, and visited by shepherds and the wisest of men. You probably remember Jesus as the man on the cross. He was on the cross because he loves us and wants us to be with him forever. That's why Jesus let mean people put him there. I'm sure you remember the empty tomb. The big rock door was rolled away. Do you remember what happened next? Jesus was gone. He was alive again. All should say, hooray. If you're listening out there, say hooray with me.
Hooray.
There we go.
Hooray.
Those are things you've likely heard, but there's another picture of Jesus you need to know. Jesus is no longer a baby. He's no longer on the cross. He is in heaven getting ready to come back. One day, Jesus will come back, and he will be on a white horse. Everyone will see him. He will be riding on his white horse, ready to win, with the army of heaven riding behind him. The white horse is very special. It's what great warriors and kings ride. Jesus will come back as a warrior to fight because a great liar has hurt his people. Jesus is coming back to rescue them. You may think this is a fairy tale, but it is real, and what the Bible says to be true. This story is not just for us to read. If you follow Jesus, you can be his friend. You can be one of his knights, princes, or princesses. When Jesus comes back to the rescue on his white horse, he will save his people and send away the big liar. And all Jesus' people will cheer. Hooray! Do you want to know what happens next? after Jesus wins, there will be a new picture of him for you to know. In this picture, Jesus will wear a crown and will sit on his throne, because Jesus will be king of the whole world. Finally, the whole world will know what you already know about Jesus. He is the best. Jesus saves his people and always keeps his promises. When he comes back, we will all bow down to the King, Jesus, the one on the white horse. And we end the book with some comments for parents. We say, parents, thank you for sharing the whole story of Jesus with your children. Often the end times is seen as scary and dreaded. For the Christian, it should be exciting. It's the start of Jesus' promised kingdom and eternal life. Help your children gain excitement and anticipation of Jesus' return and his kingdom. You can use these questions to encourage them. As a listener, I ask you these questions. Do you know the story is true? Will you be able to see Jesus again? And who will be king? We close with, Jesus' kingdom will be the best. Let's be excited and look forward to it.
Praise God. I wish I could see the pictures. I will soon.
Yes, yes. We've got to make sure you get a copy for sure and can pass on. But
we need to talk about that, because I was thinking earlier, my spiritual son, he's a doctor. He's in Iowa, and he has three beautiful little girls. They're all under five, I think, five and under. And I would love for each one of them to have a book. And I thought about when Jesus, the first time I saw Jesus on his white horse, I was asked to do ministry on a Sunday morning on the pulpit as a lay person, and to read the scriptures that the pastor was going to minister from, and also lead the congregation in prayer and in the Lord's Prayer. And I was nervous, you know, and I was praying for the Lord to just help me, you know, that I won't be too nervous or mess up. And so the night before I was to get up to go to church on that Sunday morning and to do that, I had this dream. And in the dream, I walked in the sanctuary, and I was walking down the center aisle, and Jesus appeared on the pulpit on a white horse with his robe, his red robe, and the horse was white, and his crown on his head, and he just stood there. And it was as if I knew he was telling me, I'm here even before you get here, and I'll be here when you're seated right here to do what they've asked you to do. Before the service, I didn't know that the pastor meets with the ministerial team, and so I was part of that team that morning. So we all met for prayer, and I got an opportunity to tell him my dream. And you also spoke about Jesus the warrior, and I shared this with Chadwick about the right after I woke up from the dream. It was during COVID. It was last year. And right outside of my kitchen window, it's like a bay window, in the dream, right behind our house is a woods. And in the dream, Jesus came from heaven. I saw him land on his white horse, dressed as a warrior. His sword was at his side, down the side of the horse as well. And he landed right outside of the bay window of the kitchen. And he just stood there as if he was saying, I'm going to protect you through this time and your household. And I told Chadwick that I saw his armor on, all the armor, and, you know, you tell Chadwick anything spiritual, and he'll give you a scripture in a minute. And he gave me revelation in the book of Revelation about the dream. So I was very moved like a child of the Lord by your book and the cover, because I've seen that. God has showed me that two times. And who knows, you know, God can minister and manifest himself like that to all the children, because we hear about his birth. The children hear about the baptism. They hear about him dying on a cross and having this tragic, tragic death and so many enemies and so much betrayal. And really, as a small child, they don't understand all that, but they might know that this was part of his life. But they don't hear about his return, which would make them happy, that would thrill them, that would just fall in love with the whole idea that the God my mom and dad, aunt and uncle have been telling me, or my grandmom has been telling me about, is going to return for me. So that's how I look at your book, and I'm just honored to even have this broadcast in the name of your book.
Well, and you're exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that long before I was writing on and talking about prophecy, what had kind of got my heart about was the amount of people who were leaving the faith and leaving church and leaving the faith. And statistically, it's 70%. When I first started studying it, it was 80%, early 2000. They say it's down to 66%, but this was before COVID. 66% of all children and teens who grow up in church are gone by the age 18 to 22. Barna Research, that's from Lifeway Research Group. Barna Research Group asked questions about what made them leave. And the number one and two things was, number one was they didn't see a faith that was worth risk. The church played it too safe, they said. And then it just didn't relate to life. And I think in part it's because we're not telling them the whole story. We're not telling our churches the whole story, for one, but we're sure not telling our kids. And if they don't understand that Jesus is coming back, they don't understand, you know, he's still active in heaven today, that he's got a kingdom in the future. You know, by missing all of that, we're missing not just, you know, understanding a story, but a big part of motivation of why we're believers.
Well, I get it, you know, and I think that the church needs to know that there's a remnant, that even where you see a packed church, there's only a remnant among the packed church. There's a whole lot not being preached, but I know what you mean, that just what you said is not being preached. It's just not. And people don't want to know what's going to happen after that. They want to know what's going to happen right here, right now. They're not looking for him to call us up to meet him in the air. I am. You know, I talk out loud, Jesus. You know, I don't want anything more than him to crack the sky and call me up, you know, now. There's nothing else that I want to live for than that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people don't want to know that. They want to know what's going, what they can do, what they can have, material things and all of that, you know. And, you know, but it's a remnant that can grasp on to what is needed in the heart of a child, you know. And there's so many kids now that are suffering, and there's so many that are being lured out of the church, and we need them back. Jesus wants them back. I believe that the Holy Spirit is wooing these young people, you know, out of darkness to repent and rededicate their lives to Christ. I'm waiting for my grandsons to rededicate their lives to Christ. And I'm honored, you know, the way God manifests himself to me. It humbles me to think about it. And I love when I get an opportunity to talk about it, because people will mock you like they mock Joseph, because God talked to Joseph and not his brothers, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thrilled. Tell us how to get your book, how much it costs, where we can get it, like, now.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's available everywhere. Christian books are sold. We do have a special offer for you at JesusandHisWhiteHorse.com. That's JesusandHisWhiteHorse.com. There'll be a button there that'll say buy the book or something like that. And when you go to that, it'll take you to a page that we're doing, and we've got a free gift that comes with the book as well. So it's the same price as you'll find it on Amazon and other places, $16.99, no shipping. And then we have a free 50-page book called Hope. It's an e-book called Hope and Understanding in Scary Times, where we have created discussion guides and lessons to help parents talk about not just Jesus coming back, but how that ties into creation and how that ties in with the craziness of COVID and how that it gives us hope in these times. And so if you go to JesusandHisWhiteHorse.com and you go to the links there, it will give you this free gift when you make the purchase.
Okay, now you said Hope and Understanding. What was the rest of the name?
Yeah, Hope and Understanding Scary Times.
Oh, Scary Times. Okay.
Yes, yes. And it's, again, a free ebook that we've created just to really help, because, you know, it's one thing to tell our kids that he's coming back. That needs to happen. But then how can we tie it back? We go back to Genesis chapter 3 in the curse where the Lord says that there'll be the seed of the woman who will come, and he will crush the head of the serpent, even though the serpent strikes his heel, and share that even in the beginning, when the world is cursed, the world we know is cursed and bad things are allowed to happen moving forward, there was hope, and that hope is going to come to fruition when Jesus returns and all things are made new. And so try to tie in it. We deal a lot with just talking through, you know, this crazy world that we're in now. You know, it's always crazy, but COVID has definitely increased the level of craziness in which we have.
Yeah. I knew that there had to be more than what I understood at the time, and probably don't totally understand even now, why the Lord showed me him as a warrior, you know, with the full armor on, landing on his white horse right outside my kitchen window. You know, when I think about it, as I think about it, like back then during COVID last year, I think it was just a natural reaction for me to think that he was saying, I'm going to protect you from this, this pandemic, so don't be afraid, you know, and your household.
Yeah.
And it's even more than that, because this God could blow a breath on this pandemic and it disappear, you know.
Yeah.
But all the other ungodly, unearthly, wicked, evil things going on in the earth today, I felt he was also as well telling me, I'm protecting you from that too. And and I just give him praise. Hallelujah. I want to maintain a heart of a child when I come to the Lord. He says for us to come to him like a child, you know, but at the same time, I've grown levels in God and to a mature level with the wisdom of God. And I'm just honored that I know you, Pastor Jay, going. How's your church going?
Well, again, COVID with crazy times. We had just planted this church, restarted this church in the end of January. And then, of course, 1st of March is when we had the shutdowns and all the COVID stuff. And so we met outside for an entire year. And I know for everybody that sounds crazy and ridiculous. For me, it was I didn't want to deal with the division, and I wanted to keep us unified. And you didn't have to fight over different details if you're outside. But the beautiful thing is our neighbors got to see who we were, and we got to meet neighbors, and so it was beautiful. But when we came back in, I had already been convicted we couldn't be the same. I don't think anybody should have. You know, our good friend Chad Harvey talked about it being a shot across the bow. It was a wake-up call. And if it doesn't wake us up, then what is? And it should wake us up that church can be done better. And so what we've done is we've actually just said, okay, we're not going to be the same. How can we be different? And so we're trying to adopt some of the models that are happening in the Middle East, where the church is just exploding. They do something called the disciple-making movement, use what's called the Discovery Bible Study. And so we've broke up into small geographical groups, church plants, and we were taking the church to folks. And we had been preparing, and we're just a few weeks into that. But it's been beautiful as these home churches that we're collectively together in are pushing each other to reach out, and we're having people come and hear the gospel. And we just had someone rededicate their life last week, and just it's beautiful. And as the pastor, I'm stepping back, and I'm trying to do my best to equip everybody to live it out. But I don't want to have all the fun. I want to make sure that all of us are participating in the Great Commission, and so I'm trying to take this more of a equipping role, which is scriptural anyway. But step back and for the whole congregation to lead out, and it really has. It's been beautiful, and so we're just like really excited. What's the Lord got next? How's this going to go? And so anyway, it's not easy by any means, but it's a beautiful transition.
That's how I am in my life right now. I've been to 5 countries already this year, getting ready to go again in December. Was talking about Dubai for early next year, and I'm going to meet my cousin in Paris in May. You know,
nice.
I mean, I'm saying
Take
to the Lord, what's next? And then last Thursday I walked on a temporary position in a brand new gorgeous high school, and the vice principal offered me a permanent job with top pay. I said, okay, Lord, bring it. Okay, what's next? Just like you said. But the church is at a very crucial, critical, but powerful point right now. My church opened back up last year when the restrictions were lifted July 5th, and they have gone to great lengths financially to change the filter in the air conditioner, the heater, and all that for the air to be different and cleaner, and also sanitizing the sanctuary after each service. And at this point right now, they are now having 3 services on Sunday.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
3 services on Sunday.
Yeah.
So the church is not going to shut down. It's only going to get better.
Yeah. Well, some are. And some, you know, when we look at, I call it the end times church, whether we're that or not, we're a church in a difficult, trying time. I call it the second heroic age of the church. We look back at the book of Acts, and we see these amazing things going and how God's using the church. Well, whatever the church is in difficulty, that's going to happen. They're going to be a part of that. And so it's a double-edged sword where it's trying, it's harder, but it pushes you just to rely on the Lord. We've had over this past just couple weeks, I found myself and our church and members of our church praying in some of the most situations that I've in my time in ministry have not been in, because getting out there, trying to make an impact, puts you in situations where you're like, we can only do it with the Lord. And I think if the church can get into that role, that mindset, it's powerful. People are looking for answers, and we've got them.
Yeah.
We've just got to convey them and show that they're real.
Yeah. Also, the church needs to see a blessed church, but a humble church.
Yeah.
You know, that everybody doesn't have their hand out, you know, that we come to church in sneakers and jeans, and we don't have to dress up, you know, and in million-dollar suits, and just who we are, you know. And I think that the people needs to see who the church is outside the four walls of the church.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I chased this guy down the plaza the other day, last week. He was digging in the trash can for food, and I was paying a T-Mobile bill in the T-Mobile store, and I saw him, and I told the guy, wait a minute. And I went and I after him, and I said, sir, and he didn't want to respond, and I continued to say, sir, and he turned around and looked at me. I said, come on and let me buy you something to eat. And he said, no. He said, I like being a scavenger. And I said, oh, no. I said, we can go right in here in Subway. I was going to take him in the supermarket and buy him whatever he could load up in his hands or his backpack, you know. And he said, no. I was crushed because I've never been turned down when I've tried to help somebody on the street like that.
Yeah.
But one of the T-Mobile guys said they've tried to help him and he wouldn't take it. So they buy food and they let him see them throw it in the trash, and then they watch him go take it out and have something to eat. I want people to see Christ in me, you know, and even though I've turned the big 7-0, nobody believes that because I don't look like what I've been through. And but I praise God because I brought in this new part of my life. 41 years I've been with Christ, and I've lived with him more on the earth than an unsaved life on the earth. So I just thank God for that. And I'm honored to have you on, Jake. I'm just blessed, and I decree and declare a best-selling book for you. I'm not surprised that you had a battle, because the enemy always fights the real, genuine, anointed truth, you know. And I believe that this book is going to be read to a whole lot of children whose grandmoms want them to know about Jesus and his white horse. So I'm a grandmom, and I'm going to get some of them books out, and I'm going to look up the Jesus and his white horse.com right after I close the broadcast. So if there's something else you'd like to say, it's all yours, and then I'm going to close.
Yeah, well, we talk about the Lord returning, it's just realizing that is the blessed hope. You know, a lot of times we focus on the rapture, which is all connected to it, Jesus peering in the sky and us being gathered up to him, and then eventually when he returns and we return with him, it's really all in one. But it's ultimately, it's his kingdom. And I love Revelation 20, just a little bit that we get about the millennial kingdom as Jesus comes and he rules from earth for 1,000 years with Satan locked up. Satan's let loose, he defeats him, and then we are here for eternity in this new made earth, the new Jerusalem. But this idea that Jesus is going to be in the world that we know, that's tribulation torn, and he restores it. We get to be a part of that. We get to be there with him. I mean, it's just incredible. And I think if we can let that motivate us here, you know, even if we're blessed with long lives here, it's just a drop in the bucket to what we have to experience in the future. And so I think if we could just put in the part, you know, our heart and our belief and how we put in the forefront there that Jesus, that it's not just what he did in the past where he paid for our, you know, our sins and redeemed us, but it's also that he is coming back and we'll get to see that come to fruition and place our hope in that as well. So I encourage folks to think positive on, for a believer. The end times is terrible marketing. It should be considered the beginning of everything because it is. And but I just, again, thank you for the honor to share this book, and I encourage everybody to get a copy. Christmas coming up. Parents, grandparents, get a copy. Neighbors, get a copy for neighbors. But you can get that at JesusAndHisWhiteHorse.com.
Well, I just want to say, if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry, the link is on the website.
Perfect.
So if you
Great.
Click it on, or just if you click on the last broadcast, or even if it becomes the next to the last and the next to the next to the next to the last, on the front right there where it says author Jake McCandless with his children's book Jesus and His White Horse, the link is right below that in the paragraph there. I put that on there on purpose where you could just cut and paste the link or write it down and Google it, put it in your browser, and get your books. So thank you, Pastor Jake, for honoring Gatekeepers Ministry and being on the broadcast. I love you, man. God bless you, your wife, your family. And I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory for this podcast tonight, all about Jesus. That's what it is for me. It's all about him. Only what you do for Christ will last. Thank you for joining us. Whatever time zone you're in, whether you're listening today, tomorrow, or on demand, thank you for joining us. God bless you. And good night.